Okay, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls with Marie Jones about, of course, destiny versus choice. Perhaps you'll share a story with us as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Marie Jones with us. We're going to take your phone calls and the like. What do most people think about this question, destiny versus choice, Marie?
Most people fall in the middle, which I do as well, where they feel that both are at play in their lives, that they sense that they have a path that feels right to them, that they should be on, and that will make them happy if they do get on eventually, but that they have choices as well. And, you know, a perfect example is that I knew that I was going to be a writer, but I didn't always make really good choices. And when I did make good choices, my path was smooth. I was able to move forward with my goals and my dreams. When I made bad choices, for whatever reason, I was just off alignment with who I really was, with my authenticity, I got blocked. I got held back. I lost money. You know, emotionally, I suffered. And so I think most people believe that it is a balance of the two. But you do have people at other extremes. And again, very religious people tend to believe more in a very fixed fate where it's sure. All up to God or Allah, what have you, and it's God's will. I have no choice in the matter. And again, people on the other end that are not religious at all tend to believe it is totally free will. Nothing is telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. Nobody has control over me.
I do not believe in coincidences. I believe that things happen for a reason. So where do I fit into the scheme?
You're in the middle. Because here's what, you know, synchronicities and coincidences, things that happen, we're seeing the effects. We don't see the cause. That happens on an invisible, implicate level, as David Bohm would say. We see the effects. The problem is when a synchronicity occurs, you could choose to ignore it. And I always tell people, why would you do that? Because when a coincidence or a synchronicity occurs, it's usually a sign telling you you need to know this person or you need to pick up this book that just fell on your head while you were in the bookstore. Or, you know, there's a meaning behind that. And you could be so distracted, texting or what have you, that you just ignore it. Or you just choose to ignore it because you're afraid. You know, that connection is not made. So you miss that opportunity to move a little bit further on your path.
Good point. Let's take some calls. Here we go. Baton Rouge. It's not Louisiana. We're going to Boca Raton, Florida. Oh. Vanessa is there. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi. I had a question. I've been a registered nurse for 17 years, and within the last 3 years, I have felt pulled to go in a very different career direction, which I believe is my real purpose in life. And I'm at a point now where working as a nurse is extremely difficult. Not even really tolerable, but the new path hasn't completely opened up yet. How do I know whether to stay on the new path or shelf what I thought was my purpose and return to my quote-unquote old life?
Don't return to the old life. There's that wonderful quote that when you leap, the net will appear, or you take that first step into thin air and the staircase
right.
appears. Where you're at now, the fact that you're feeling so much malaise and this sense of I'm not in the right place, your back is against the wall. Guess what? That is the best place to be. Because
okay.
a lot of people never get to that point and they'll just continue on the way they're going. They'll be miserable until the day they die. So I
right.
think for you, you know, you can go to your job every day knowing that you're now going to be open to every synchronicity, every open door. Just really open yourself up to all of the possibilities. Focus on what it is now that you want to do and not so much on the job that you're doing as if, oh, I'm stuck here. And I think those steps are going to present themselves. You know, destiny, another thing about destiny is it can sometimes take a really different turn. And your destiny can lead you to one area for the first part of your life, and maybe another for the second. I mean, people marry more than once. Which person is their destiny? It's all a part of the grander destiny. So you were a nurse for a while, you served others, you fulfilled that purpose, now you're feeling, okay, I really feel compelled to go do this, and just really be open to what can I do every day to sort of move myself a little bit further towards the life I want now while you're still in, because obviously you don't want to give up the security that you have and just jump into nothing. Right. But I think you're in a really good spot because you've recognized that you want to move in this new direction. And again, you'd be surprised how many people don't ever even recognize the reason for their misery.
Right, and that's my fear, is just getting to a point in life where I look back and say, I should have, I could have, and I didn't.
Exactly. And being aware of that now, you're not going to go there. You're going to instead, okay, every day, what one small thing can I do? Just stay open to meeting new people. The funny thing is that what I found in my own life is that things tend to happen just out of the blue. So I will make plans. I'll say, okay, I have this new goal of doing this, and I'll make whatever plans I can, but then, boom, I'll wake up one day, and there's an email just from out of the blue that pulled me forward onto that new path. And I know that's going to happen for you, too, because you've opened yourself up to the possibility of it. You're not blocked off anymore.
What does this verse from Matthew mean to you? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you.
With law of attraction teaching.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. And again, you focus instead on where you want to go instead of griping about where you are now. Because if you gripe about where you are now, you're just going to get more things to gripe about. But if you focus on where you want to be and the positive feelings of this new adventure you're going on, you're going to be drawn to it like a magnet. As George said earlier, the universe is a very magnetic place.
Next up, we go to Stephanie in Clovis, California. Hi, Steph. Go ahead.
Hi, George, Marie.
Hi.
My question actually is, I'm an artist, and also I just began getting into writing. However, I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do or not, but I do enjoy it. As far as destiny and fate goes, I feel things pulling me in certain directions, but how do I know which direction seems to be right, because a lot of them are great opportunities, but I'm not quite sure how to decipher what signs to focus in on. That makes sense.
A couple of great things. Well, one, I always say people can look back on what they love to do as a child. That's always sometimes a good clue. But the best thing that I can tell people, excuse me, imagine if you had all the money in the world and paying your bills was a done deal. You did not ever have to worry about making a living, okay? What would you do with your time?
Good question.
What would you do with your time? Opportunities can be things that we really want to do, or they could just look good on paper, like, you know, I should do that. Because I heard you say should.
I think people need to be kept busy, don't you?
Oh, yeah. God, I love to be. Oh, I'm always working. I love what I do. I'm always working. People think I'm nuts, but this is what I was meant to do. You know, I don't know how to do anything else, and I don't want to. But I think that's a really great question to ask. If I didn't have to worry about making a living, how would I make my life?
That's right. Okay, back we go. Mike in Ithaca, New York, east of the Rockies. Hello, Michael.
Hi, George. Hi, Marie. Boy, this is a hot topic tonight.
Sure is.
I mean, it's so great. I even did my master's on it. And
are you serious? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. And
you can tell me a thing or two.
I think one way to look to sort of get chance and destiny all together in the same thing is that it's sort of the idea of the gunas and karma. If you wait for what you get back to equal what you put out, it'll eventually equal out, but you might wait a long time. But if you count as what's coming back to you, what's coming back to your doppelgangers, then the absolution of the karma is instant. That's what instant karma is. It equals it instantly.
Huh.
And if you want to read more about it, I'm wondering if you heard about this in some form too, but I just want to say, if you Google karma doppelgangers, or doppelganger singular, and Hamilton and Skinner.
Oh, wow.
You'll find it explained rigorously there. But I'm wondering if you came across this in any analogous form, like in double entry bookkeeping, or there are lots of analogies to it in philosophy and life.
I wrote a lot about karma and the karmic wheel, but not in the doppelganger connection, no, not at all.
But you know, there's simultaneous incarnations that we all have in this world, and if not 100% partial ones. So if you count what comes to your partial doppelgangers, your karma is absolved instantly, if you consider them as extensions of yourself.
Right, okay. So the soul has sort of split personalities, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but you could also say, too, that we're all one soul and that our separateness from God is an illusion that's part of the creation process, or we'd be too lonely. But we're all really one.
Exactly. And it's that separateness, I think, that leads to...
it says in the Sermon on the Mount, if your eye be one, it isn't talking about a cyclops or the one I love. It's talking about we're all one being.
Exactly. Oh, that's amazing that you did your master's on this.
What do you think of synchronicity, Murray?
I think synchronicity are two, the cause occurring on a hidden level, and all we see are the two effects, and we say, oh my gosh, what a coincidence, and yet there was a cause. We just didn't see it happen. I mean, we live in such a cause and effect world, and we're used to seeing that chain of cause and effect and then cause and effect. Carl Jung believed that synchronicity, the cause, occurred on a hidden level, and that we needed to pay attention even though we didn't see it. So we're so focused on wanting to see all of the parts of the puzzle that we don't trust when we're given just a few of them. So that's what I think synchronicities are. We're seeing the effects of being thrown together with someone or a particular situation that occurs, but the cause happened beyond our capability of seeing it.
In your book, you talk about ghosts and life after death stories. How does that equate to the topic of destiny versus choice?
Well, I kind of felt like I wanted to look at this idea that destiny was involved with the fact that we incarnate, that we decide before we incarnate what our purpose is going to be, who we're going to deal with, what other souls we're going to interact with. And that leads us to believe that, hey, if we incarnated before, then after we die in this life, we're going to do it again. And, you know, the whole idea that there may be ghosts and spirits and communication with the dead, or you know, they may just be on a whole other level of reality and not really dead at all, kind of lends itself to this idea of the ongoing destiny of the soul. So maybe we have a destiny in each particular incarnation, but we also have an ongoing, who knows how long it can be lasting, evolution of the soul. And it goes through many incarnations. And maybe when we see a ghost, we're getting a glimpse of someone in their next incarnation or their last one.
Let's go to John, Long Beach, California. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hello, George. Great show. I wanted to mention quickly about first cause and then get to my question.
Sure.
You once had a guy on, several months ago that said he could basically prove... basically through argument, that God does exist. And you ask him the ultimate question, who made God?
Oh, boy.
And he said, well, that's a question that doesn't have to be asked. I thought it was a cop-out because you might remember the guest in the conversation. And if I'd had the time, I said, no, you can't do that. If you think you have the ultimate answer through argument that God exists, you have to answer the ultimate question
of
who made God. If you say we don't have to answer that, then you're copping out. But that's not – I've been wanting to say that for a long time. But my real question is
–
the way I look at it is – I never understood why Pontius Pilate got a lot of, has been vilified throughout history. I thought this when I was a kid. It horrified my grandfather, who was a very religious man.
Uh-huh.
I said, look, to him, I said, it was Jesus' destiny, if you listen to the New Testament or read it,
right,
to go on the cross and do all this. Pontius Pilate was just serving his destiny. He really didn't have a choice. If he did, he would have gone against the destiny. So I never understood why. He was just part of the whole plan. My question is then, how can you have, you either have to have free will, or in my opinion, or destiny. Because if you have free will, then you can do it on your own. Destiny doesn't have anything to do with it. If it's all destined for George to be where he is right now, all that time, I've listened to your show a lot, George, all that time you're on the ship, all the other jobs you had in Detroit, all the other people that you met, really were just part of your destiny. Nothing you did brought it about, unless you're saying that some people don't reach their destiny, right? I mean, that's the only way you can have it half and half.
Right. Now, here's the thing. It all goes back to first cause, because here's what I found. If we can't identify first cause, and if we can't identify the motive behind it, what if the motive behind first cause was that every single flipping thing that happens is planned out? What, without knowing that, without being able to understand or identify first cause, understand or identify what the motive may have been for why things are the way they are, we really have no proof of either one. And that's what's so frustrating about this argument, because you could say it's all destiny, and I could turn around and say, well, no, I don't know. How can you prove that? Maybe I'm choosing it all, but it just feels like destiny.
But couldn't it be ultimately, I just want to say ultimately, even though we don't know, ultimately it's got to be either or.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's my opinion.
I think even if you look like in the great religious texts, these darn philosophers argued over this so much, and the conclusion that they all came to was that there's both at play,
yeah,
that we seem to have the destiny is given to us, but we have the choice as to whether or not we're going to fulfill it, and that's part of the growth curve that our soul takes for each incarnation.
We had this in Jesuit school, and it's Jesuit.
Right, and again, that falls into whether you believe in, you know, the religious aspects of this argument. The problem is, none of us can prove any of this.
And can I ask you one other question?
Yeah, go ahead.
One other question real quick. Do you think that if cats and dogs, you know, they don't contemplate their death, I don't think, you know, they just live their lives as they are, at least that's what it appears to be.
I envy that.
Yeah, but I do
too,
in a way.
But
do you think the fact that we might be too intelligent for our own good,
that we realize
we can only experience height, width, and depth, only three dimensions, but we can comprehend other dimensions.
Uh-huh.
We can comprehend forever because we know you can add a number on to go on to infinity. That maybe we're so intelligent, we're too intelligent for our own good, that we contemplate our own death.
Yeah, we overanalyze.
We have to figure out ways to explain it. And also, I think more people, when they're in their deathbed, don't ask why do I die. They ask why did they ever live.
Yeah, you know? And they also regret all the things they didn't do, and that can be what your destiny is. Just doing the things that you should have done that you're going to regret when you get on your deathbed. There's a good way to figure it out. Say to yourself, if I were dying and on my deathbed, what would I be really pissed off that I didn't do? So you could really take that whole religious element right out of it and just think of destiny as living the absolute best life you can.
Marie, give us your website, and where can we get your book?
The book is everywhere. Fine books are sold, brick and mortar and online bookstores. I have two websites, mariedjones.com, and then my website with Larry Flaxman is paraexplorers.com, P-A-R-A, paraexplorers.com.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls for Marie Jones, split show. Later on, we'll talk about the incredible power of healing. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. So those of you on hold, don't leave. Those of you calling, we'll get to you. Well, next hour, Lynn Andrews joins us as we talk about the power cycles healing. Fascinating segment coming up when we come back with Marie Jones. Final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Marie Jones with us. Marie, where does evil fit in with all of this? Can you still have fate, free choice, and be an evil person?
I think you can choose to be evil. It also could be that evil is a part of the process that the soul learns to evolve away from evil. So it could also be a part of your destiny. And the topic of Hitler comes up a lot when I've talked to people about this whole debate. People say, well, Hitler, was that his destiny? Because that's a really lousy destiny to have. And people always think destiny has to be something positive. Well, we can look at it two ways. If we believe in choice and free will and not fate and destiny, we could say that Hitler was nuts and he made all of those choices and he did the awful, evil things that he did, and there was nothing more to it. There was no hidden meaning behind it, no purpose. If we believe in destiny, we might think of it as we judge as evil what he did, but what if there was a purpose to it? What if his destiny was intertwined with every victim with their destinies? What if all of this was agreed upon by all of these souls? And there are people who write about things like soul codes, where groups of souls get together ahead of time and agree on the roles that they're going to play in the next incarnation. So again, it really depends on what side of the fence you want to look at it from.
Give us, if you can, Marie, an example, a story of destiny versus choice.
For me, I think one of the fun destiny stories that I like is how I met Larry Flaxman, who is my co-author and business partner. And I wrote a book called Science many, many years ago that really should never have been published because the book is about quantum physics and the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
I did a show with you. It was a great show. I never should have written that book. My agent at the time said, you are not qualified. You're not a scientist. Nobody is going to publish this. Forget it. And I persisted. I just knew in my heart that I had to write that book at that time. It got published. It was a huge success. I got thousands and thousands of emails. I can't even tell you from that book, and I still do. But one of them stood out, and that was an email from this guy named Larry Flaxman, who for some reason I felt very compelled to begin a conversation with, and we became fast friends, partners. We are on our fifth book. We just finished a book on time travel that'll be out in a couple of months, and it's just one of the most richest relationships with another human being I've had, professionally and personally. Now, people could say, well, you made the choice to respond to that one email, but look, I got thousands of emails. I responded to a lot of them, but that one stood out. And Larry said the same thing. He said, I'd never written to an author before, but I really felt this weird compulsion to email you and start up this conversation. And again, people can take that for what it is. One of the things about destiny that I learned is that it gives us meaning. It gives meaning to our lives. We really want to feel like our lives are more than just a total crapshoot that we're thrown here on Earth. We live, we die, fade to black, that's it. So this idea...
That's empty, isn't it?
Exactly. So when we think about, the way I met my spouse, or, the way that I tumbled onto to my new career, it had to have been destiny, it really gives us meaning. And I think that whether or not we can prove that any of this really is what's at play here, does it really matter as long as we get that meaning out of the circumstances that we're dealing with, whether we chose them or whether they were set in motion before we even came into this world? I think as long as we feel like our life is moving on this forward path, that's where we get the meaning from, and that's what's most important.
All right, let's go to final calls. We'll go to Whitney in Salt Lake City, west of the Rockies. Hello, Whitney. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I just have to tell you before I ask Marie my question. So I have a little baby, and I'm with him all day.
Okay.
I put him down for sleep, and I come and sit in my car and listen to your show every single night, and it's my me time. And I just have to tell you,
why do you sit in the car?
Well, because I don't have a radio in my house.
Why not?
I don't know. What's that? Then I can get outside and enjoy the fresh air, and
there you go.
Okay.
Space.
All right. So, well, thank you for your devotion.
Thank you. So anyways, Marie, I have two questions. One, you were just talking about your email with your colleague.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you believe that how you said you kind of just instantly gravitated towards him and now look where you guys are? So do you believe that when you're meant to be somewhere in your life with somebody, that it happens automatically, or do you believe that it can take time?
Well, I think it can take time, but I think what causes things to take more time than they should is the fact that people tend to resist how they're feeling, whether they feel compelled to connect with someone, get out of their comfort zone, pay attention to synchronicities that are going on. Again, we're so distracted by everything around us that few of us live in the present moment. And that's where these synchronicities occur. And I really believe that synchronicities are signposts on your path to your destiny. So if you're intended to meet someone, you can ignore all of those signposts and you may never meet them, or it may take you 20 years longer than had you really tuned in and paid attention to what was going on around you. I do think that there are people that are fated to be together. I also think that there are people that we recognize instantly from past incarnations. I've had that happen, where I met somebody and it was like, oh my God, I've known you forever. I had a really good friend when I lived in L.A., and she and I, we just looked at each other and said, okay, what lifetime? And I really wasn't necessarily a believer in that until that happened. So I really do think,
too.
Yeah, and I think it's really about staying really present and tuned in to what's going on, listening to the signs. Intuition whispers so quietly, and yet it tells you everything you need to know. But what do we listen to? We listen to the louder voices that you should do this. No, no, you should go this way. This is where, so-and-so would want you to go, or society would want you to go. And yet intuition is the voice of destiny. I really believe that if people could just start to listen to it a little bit more, they might get to that person or that career or that outcome that they really want a lot quicker.
Let's go to Miami, Florida now, east of the Rockies. Javier is with us. Hi there, Javi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I don't have particularly a question. I just kind of want to share my personal experience.
Sure. Go ahead.
Destiny and choice. I was born with a heart problem as a child, which caused me to have like 14-plus surgeries throughout my lifetime.
Oh,
I'm 22 now. So, and I've kind of battled with the mentality of, is my life destined or did I choose this? And I've kind of come to the conclusion that it's a bit of a mix of both.
Huh, interesting.
And I'm not one of a big, I'm not really much of a religious person, and I would consider myself to be an agnostic. And I've kind of come to this point in my life where I was not, I could have never chosen to have had my heart condition right. It was just the card I was dealt with, but I chose how to react to it, and it affected me, and I chose how I would use my experiences to help other people. Like I've learned that I, even though I was not fully in control of a lot of things, such as my heart problem or what has happened to people around me, I've had a lot of choice in making how I can take these situations and make them better or make them worse.
Right. Right. And you create your own destiny that way.
Yeah. Like I usually see destiny and choice as like you're born. The way I usually tell my friends is like you're born in a cannon and you're taken off and that cannon has a set trajectory.
Right.
And you can veer off of that path by moving around or choosing different things. But at some point, at the end of the day, you may find yourself at your end, at your destination, whether or not it's at the end of your life or some middle point.
I like that.
Okay, thanks, Javi. Appreciate it. Joel is in Fort Wayne, Indiana. First-time caller. Go ahead, Joel.
Hey, actually, I really love your show. This is great tonight.
Thank you.
My question is this. I died once, and it really was a bizarre situation because I was supposed to have surgery. The day before, I had the most vivid dream of my life that I died, that I had a heart attack. Told my wife about it, and my wife said, then you have to cancel the surgery. But there was something in me that just said, I know that I need, it's going to happen no matter what,
mm-hmm.
that I have to have the surgery. It was real routine surgery. And there was just no getting around it. It was just set in my head. I went to the surgery the next day, 8 minutes into it, my heart stopped and I was dead for 30 seconds. What is that? Is that destiny? Is that choice? Is that fate?
It sounds like precognition to me, but what I love about that is that it talks about this hidden level where causes occur. And every now and then we get glimpses of these causes and we wonder, what's going on here? Why did I have this vision or this idea that this was going to happen, and then here it happened. Now, did you have a near-death experience by any chance when you were gone?
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw my grandparents.
Because a lot of near-death experiences contain messages such as, you're not done yet. You haven't fulfilled your purpose. You need to go back. which speaks of this idea that we do have a purpose, we do have a destiny, and we're not going to die permanently until we play it out.
As a result of that, the night before the surgery, and I knew that it was so vivid, I can't explain it, but I wrote my wife a goodbye letter and put it in my drawer where I knew she would find it if anything happened to me. And I said that the only thing that I regretted was the fact that we hadn't had any children. And so as soon as I was better and well enough, we had my daughter, Sophia.
There you go. I love it. But it just, you know, you weren't meant to die yet. You had to go back and you had to have that fulfill that purpose of becoming a father. And I mean, I just think that people that do have near-death experiences, they always talk about the idea that they're told, wait a second, it's not your time, you haven't finished. And that, to me, speaks of destiny, of purpose, of there being meanings to our lives. You know, the idea that you've got to go back and finish, you're not going anywhere.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you're alive.
I'm actually checking out your website right now. I plan on getting your book. That is just...
Oh, I love your story, and it worked out wonderfully, it sounds.
You have a pretty good following, Marie, don't you? And especially after your appearances on the show.
Yeah, I do. People like me. I don't know why.
You're likable.
I've written a ton of books, and they seem to resonate with a lot of people. And, yeah, I like people. I like for my books to do more than just inform. I really want them to somehow make people's lives a little bit better.
Ever been to the Bronx in New York?
Not, well, yeah, actually I have.
That's where we're going now.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Joe, Bronx, New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here in the Bronx.
Yes, you are.
I wanted to ask you about synchronicity. How do we interpret synchronicity? I'll give you an example. My mother passed away a few years ago, and it was at 11:11 p.m.
Oh, that's funny.
Thought to myself, synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I feel that, you know, purpose and destiny are inseparably interwoven. Our purpose is our destiny, and our destiny is our purpose.
I agree. It's that simple.
Also, I feel that... the reincarnation, in effect, is our resurrection. It's our conquering death, our own personal conquering of death.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like your first question with synchronicity, because here's what I found. A lot of times the meaning, it doesn't have to be big and grand. It can be something as simple as you're getting a sign that, hey, life goes on, you know, your mom is fine, or... they're just like little pokes from the universe, I like to call them. Other times, synchronicities can be very direct, very big, lead to very big changes in people's lives. But, you know, like with the 11-11s, millions of people see 11-11 every day, and they get what they get from it. And it isn't always something big and grand. It can be something very, very personal, very much a present moment reaction where you just sort of look at it and say, oh, wow. That's got to be a sign from my mom or my dad or my sister who passed away or what have you. And sometimes you don't know what the outcome of synchronicities will be until a little bit later down the road when you look back and go, aha, that's why I met that person. Now, that's why that happened.
So true. Mm-hmm. Carol is in Los Angeles. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. Wow, I can't believe I got through.
You did.
Hi, Carol.
Oh, my gosh, hi. I was just writing down my question because I get very, very nervous. But I'm just wondering what your thought is about, you know, if you have a destiny and it seems set and then something happens or you make a wrong choice or, you know, maybe one or two unintentionally and it seems to completely take you off your path and, you know, derail your destiny, your life. I mean, I'm sure it happens to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's happened to me. And then it's like, what the heck happened? And it's like, how do you reconnect with your life? And also, is that mistake that you made that derailed your life, is that part of your destiny? And then, you know, what are your thoughts about that? I guess that's one
sure,
of my questions.
You know, since I've had that happen too, like I've made really bad choices what I found later on when I was able to look back is that those choices were not made consciously. They were made off of raw emotion or fear, doubt. And I think if you later on when you look back at the choices that derailed you, excuse me, you'll probably realize they were made from a place other than your real authenticity, or they were made out of fear, or, you know, something other than your heart telling you this is what you need
right,
to do.
Right, absolutely.
But you know what? Here's the great thing. You can get totally derailed, and you can get right back on. And all you really need to do is just get back in touch with that inner voice.
Yep. As long as you don't fall over the bridge.
But even then, you do climb back up. You know, I mean, people have derailed.
Depends on how far the fall is, Marie.
Right.
Exactly. But we all have that padding of being able to get back up.
Well, do you think that's all part of a person's destiny, is to have that derailment and to have that experience, you know? And
think about what it does. It solidifies for you that, oh, I can't go down that road. You have a now you have a real new knowing that you made a mistake and you've got to get back on your path, where, you know, maybe had you not done that, you would have made an even bigger mistake down the line that really would have derailed you even further. But I think it's all a part of evolution and growth. I mean, I don't think every part of our path and our destiny is going to be rosy and shiny. There's going to be some learning in there and some hurts and some bruises and pains, but as long as we keep moving forward, we'll get to that end point of the trajectory.
If you needed your life to be controlled by one thing, destiny or choice, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. How could you ask?
I waited to the end.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Do I really have to answer this?
You better do it in 20 seconds, too.
I would. You know what? For me, I would say destiny, just because I've always felt it pushing me in the right direction.
I want free will.
I think I have that, too, though. I really
do. All right, Marie, good luck with the book, Destiny versus Choice.
Thank you.
When we come back in just a moment, we're going to be talking about healing and power with Lynn Andrews. That's next.